No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we take our coffee any way we can, even up the ass.
That feels really powerful.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, I need more coffee V. I am not sure where that came from. I was pre-recording some intro stuff for the show, and it kind of popped in my head as I was making coffee. Excuse me a second. So, yeah, you're bringing it back. Anyway, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host, and today is going to be a pretty random episode. So bear with me, fellow Syntaxians and coffee addicts, because a lot has gone on since the last episode was published back in January, while I was in Kuwait, by the way. I'm currently in South Carolina at Caffeine Driven Media Studios, recording episode 5 of this podcast. I'm glad to be here, and I think I owe you an explanation because here's what I'm realizing now. Well, two things. One, I've got a 4-vent AC up in here in the studio that may have the tendency to come on while I'm recording. So if you hear a ambient noise in the back, that is my AC, and I apologize in advance for any disturbance that it may or may not have in the recording. So let me just say that up front. The second part is I do owe everybody an apology because I've been very consistent at being inconsistent with the podcast, and for a good reason. Unbeknownst to you all, well, I did say I was in Kuwait, but unbeknownst to you all, there was a big reason why I stopped recording in Kuwait, and basically due to sandstorms. So the weather there is a hit or miss, especially when the temperatures start to change and starts to get warmer and there's not a lot of rain, and then the windy season hits. And sandstorms create big brownout conditions. But one of the things I had not experienced while I was there or since I had been there was a sandstorm so huge that it actually came into my living area. So let me explain. Where I'm based at in Kuwait, I live in a containerized housing unit. And this containerized housing unit, or CHU for short, is a tin building for the most part. And it's been in Kuwait. I'm not the first tenant. It's been in Kuwait exposed to the elements, the hot, the cold and the high heat during the summer. And to put it in perspective, the heat is anywhere from 120, 25, 130 degrees in the shade. It's very, very dry. But with the number of years and the expansion and contraction of the containerized unit, it opens up gaps in certain areas, particularly like windowsills. So one night, probably about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, I hear the wind start to kick up. And usually the wind rocks me to sleep. No issue, no problems whatsoever. And lo and behold, the wind really started kicking. I thought there was a tornado outside. That's how loud it became. And the next thing I know, I couldn't breathe. So I threw my covers off. I jumped up. I turned on the light. And it was as if I was outside in the sandstorm. The wind was blowing from a direction so bad that it was blowing dust through openings in my windowsill from the constant age, well, from the constant expansion, contraction, and the age of the containerized housing unit, it was just blowing sand in. And so I was scrambling for anything I could grab, cloth or otherwise, and trying to plug the holes so I didn't, or the gaps, if you will, so I didn't have any more dust coming in and allowing my AC unit to recirculate the air and get the dust out of the room. So I spent, from the time that I woke up till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to get my room clear, but dust was everywhere. And to further explain, my containerized unit has indoor plumbing. So I have a vanity, I have a toilet, I have a shower. I also have a extension of my room, which is my office. It's not my workplace. It's actually my office away from my office. And I use part of that for, you know, podcasting. And when I saw the amount of dust that came in, I have all my equipment covered in towels. I keep it covered in towels because the dust can get really annoying and I don't want it on my equipment. I don't want it damaging my laptop or my microphone or anything of that nature. But when I saw the amount of dust that was still able to work its way through the towel and get on just the cover, I made the call to just say, you know what, heck with this. I'm not dealing with it. I don't want to go through this again. So I took matters to seal my windows, but just in case again, I said, I'm just going to bring my laptop home and I'm just going to leave it here. I've only got 4 months left after I finish my time here in South Carolina. I've got 4 months left in Kuwait, and then I'll be back. So I come back in November. So for the next 4 months, I'm relatively going to be silent on the podcast front until I get back in November. I might drop a podcast when I get back and then pack everything up because I am moving again. So this will be 5 moves in 5 years, moving up to Virginia, and hopefully that will be my last move as I'm getting ready to retire with 30 years of service. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to settling down and being able to devote more time to doing what I've grown to love and been chomping at the bit to do. So hopefully all that works out. But yeah, so that's the main reason. Just overall, the sandstorms and not knowing how frequent they would be, and if I had to leave or depart or travel again and left my laptop and a storm hit, that if it did still come through my room, regardless of how well I gorilla taped and sealed my windows, that some element of dust would still get in there. So I just decided, long story short, I just decided to end it all. But anyway, so I'm back. I was able to come back to this wonderful state of South Carolina for a few weeks. Not for vacation, mind you. I'm still having to work. But nonetheless, I'm home, chilling out with the dogs, getting some much-needed work done around the place, the normal things, right? Because face it, even if you pay somebody to take care of your stuff, they will never do it to the level of detail that you would, or even adhere to the standards that, you know, you have when you clean your own things. So, but yes, it's good to be back, even if it is for a short time. I will take it. Absolutely will take it. But that's not to say it wasn't challenging to get here. And it always seems to be the case when I travel back to the States from overseas. It just never ends. And truth be told, the executive assistant who books our flights for us, she tries to be a very good steward of funds and will pay the cheapest price possible. However, paying the cheapest price comes with some sacrifices. And a couple of the times that I've been back to the States, those sacrifices have been great with like 9 to 10 hour layovers in certain cities. The one prior to this trip, my layover was almost 12 hours in Detroit. You know, lots to do in the Detroit airport. You know, you got the bar scene, you got the restaurants, you got some small shopping that you could do. You could walk around overall, but still, you know, you really want to get to your final destination. You want to get your rental car, you want to get to a hotel, you want to take a shower after being in a flying tin can for about 15 to 18 to 20 hours, you know, and get the funk off of you and just go face plant into the bed and go to sleep and get ready for the next day's events. But overall, it's all about getting to the destination as quick as possible. So what wound up happening is I went back and talked to the EA and I was like, hey, whatever you got to do to decrease our layover times in whatever cities we're flying through, please do so. Please spend the extra money. Don't feel like hanging around in one place for 11 hours. And so that happened, and it happened this time. However, we got to our destination. So we were going to, we went to Alabama, right? Let me back up before I get there. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. So, you know, the bottom line of what I'm talking about today is that most people find a silver lining in moments like this. And I would have to say in this trip, I found mine. Okay. So as I was getting ahead of myself and reeled myself in, now I can move forward. So to be clear, I was traveling to Alabama to attend a ceremony with the boss, and then made my way back to South Carolina by way to Atlanta. And the night before, got a text message from a really great friend of mine. Met up with her at a restaurant, had dinner, had drinks, and went to a cigar bar. Consequently, if you're in Huntsville/Madison, Alabama area, and you want to toss back a few, or you like cigars, or you want to do a combination of both, there is a cigar bar by the name of SIP. S, capital S, lowercase I, capital P. Very, really, very nice cigar bar, very classy, upscale, not too expensive. They do have a membership area, and they do have a general lounge. They've got a humidor, walk-in humidor that has a really outstanding selection of cigars, really laid-back environment. And my friend that I was with, I have it on good authority that she was paying attention to everything that the bartenders were doing, and they were really smooth, very seamless, transitioned very well. They did everything very nice. I mean, very professional. So I would highly recommend going there if you're in the Huntsville, Madison area. It's called SIP. It's a cigar bar. So if you like cigars, want to do both, yep, I would highly recommend going there. But anyway, so all in all, I had an awesome time with my friend. I wound up staying late and had to get up early. And lo and behold, my dumb ass misses my flight. Now, I can't even begin to describe my idiocracy here. In my idiocracy in misreading my itinerary and thinking, for whatever reason under the sun, that I wasn't leaving until 1 p.m. the next day. Because I told my boss the day prior, I was leaving at 11 a.m. I was departing at 11 a.m. So I was trying to figure out, if I told my boss that the day prior, what made me believe that I was leaving at 1 p.m. the next day? I was like, what the fuck? and going back, so what happened was, if you're wondering or if you even care, what happened was, is as I was flipping through my itinerary, yes, I did tell my boss the day prior, 11 a.m. I was reading the itinerary correctly. But between the time that I was up really late and looking at what time I needed to get up and look at my backward planning sequence, I flipped and skipped that one page that told me I was leaving at 11 a.m. My connecting flight in Atlanta was leaving at 1, but for some reason I had ingrained it into my mind that I was leaving at 1 p.m. So I got up at what I thought was a reasonable amount of time, take a shower, get dressed, do final packing, and lo and behold, I realize I am late for my flight. So I wind up hauling ass to the airport, parked my rental. To put it in perspective, in one fell swoop, I parked, stepped out of the car, told the gentleman I missed my flight and didn't fill the tank. I really have to get in there and rebook, while grabbing my bags and receipt and running to get to another flight. The silver lining here was that they didn't charge me for gas. I had burned a half a tank of that fuel in my rental car. Now, I don't know if I could use that excuse again. Don't know if I can use that excuse again at a later time, but it's something for y'all to think about if you get in a pinch. Then again, maybe not. Because the way I look at this is, it's in the same manner as Barney Stinson, who attempted to do the naked man in the TV show How I Met Your Mother, you know, the rule of threes. Let me explain. So, not sure if you're familiar with How I Met Your Mother, even if you watched that show, but you'll get the concept here. Barney meets this guy who says he goes out on dates with women, duh. And when he goes out on these dates, they go out, they have a good time, and they either come back to his place or her place. And when the moment presents itself, when the moment's right, i.e., as in she departs the room for a few minutes to use the bathroom or goes into another room for whatever, the guy takes the opportunity to get butt naked. Now, two things wind up happening, depending on, you know, where they're at. If they're at his place, I'm sure she leaves. But if they're at her place, the two things that happen is, either one, she kicks him out, or two, she thinks it's funny, feels pity for him, and they wind up having sex anyway. But what he explained to Barney, also to Ted, who was there in the conversation, was that it usually works on the third time. So those three went out, had their own three separate dates. I think Ted was the one who scored. Barney and him totally failed. Doesn't matter. What I'm getting at is if it doesn't always work the first or the second time. So if you forget to put gas in your tank, don't have any expectations. Okay? Anyway, moving on. So after multiple delays due to storms across the eastern region of the United States, I finally make it to Atlanta, and that's where the delays continue to ensue. Delay after delay after motherfucking bloody delay. And then came my silver lining. And here's how it went. And this was totally awesome. So the gentleman who was sitting across the way from me got up and left to board his flight. And I was, you know, still sitting in my seat, listening to some music, when this other gentleman began to sit in the same seat as a person who just recently departed. And it did take long for me to realize that it was the legendary Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I was like, holy shit, you're Ming Chen. Unfreaking believable. And yes, to me, he is the heart and soul, the legendary heart and soul of the show, because for the time that we sat talking, which seemed like a really long time, you find he's even more charming in person than he is on the show. And he has a very profound love for comics, villains as well as superheroes, and he has a very deep love for his fans. Just an all-around great guy. And as a matter of fact, I think he was on his way, forgive me, Ming, I think he was on his way to Indiana for another con, and he had other cons that he was going to attend here in the near future. I mean, the guy's just like puddle jumping from con to con to con, right? But for those who aren't familiar with the television series, Comic Book Men is a show produced by Kevin Smith. Now, Kevin Smith should sound familiar to you, especially if you've seen movies like Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Clerks and Clerks 2, just to name some of the greats. And he plays in most, if not all, of his movies as the character Silent Bob. I'm pretty sure he's played in all the movies that he's produced. Anyhow, Comic Book Men is a reality series, and it airs on AMC, and the set is the actual comic book shop that's owned by Kevin Smith, and it's known as Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, located in Red Bank, New Jersey. And Ming Chen is one of the hosts slash stars of the show. And just overall, just the weird thing about it is, you know, you always, well, hold on, coffee. The weird thing about it is, it's one of those things where I kind of had a premonition, to be honest, that I was going to run into somebody. Who that somebody was, did not know. I certainly did not expect a TV personality at all. It just wasn't anything that I don't think a lot of us think about. Usually we think maybe a high school friend, a colleague that we worked with, if you're in the military, somebody that you were stationed with, you know, you run into a familiar face. And Ming, of course, is a familiar face, but he is a TV celebrity. So you don't think that you're ever going to run into somebody like that. So during the time that we had to talk, I will tell you, and I even voiced this to Ming as well, I was completely nervous. You know, for one, I was running on fumes from being up late the night before. No regrets to that. Had a great time. But being up late the night before, jumping out of my ass because I missed my original flight, and here I am trying to get my thoughts in some semblance of order in to continue having a conversation with the television great. I mean, I had so many questions to ask, and the combination of lack of sleep, my cognitive function, and my nervousness overall, which I don't normally get nervous around people. I like talking to people. I sit here and talk to a microphone by myself, feeling as though I'm talking to an audience. I mean, it just, my all that together just would not allow me to prioritize or formulate any real coherent or articulate questions. I mean, I really had to dig deep. And even then, I felt it was a general failure of epic proportions. Enough said. But all this goes back to how great of a person he is. Because Ming was, you utilize emotional intelligence when you're in a conversation with somebody. And deep down inside, you know, when you're meeting a celebrity, and you you kind of look at it as you really don't want to bother them. But then you're looking at them and I'm like, dude, this is Ming Chen, you know, AMC's comic book men, you know, and truth be told, I just got into this show last year and just before I deployed to Kuwait. And I was watching, I was binging all, you know, the season and just going through and really learning a lot about the show, really learning a lot about the people that run the stash and the different personalities. And Ming overall, like I said, I just felt as though that he's the heart of the show. He brings it all together. He brings balance. You know, that's my personal opinion. And it was just, he was just one of these people that, you know, during the course of that conversation, again, going back to how great he is, he was the one that was keeping the conversation going. And it started to lead me in. I started to feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, we had a really good talk about the background of comic book men. And, you know, I was asking some really Captain Obvious questions, but it was just all for the sake of just conversation, just really knowing it, just kind of hearing it straight from a person who is actually on the show. And I'm not going to share that here because I don't think it's my right to. But overall, it just really put a perspective on the show that I knew of, but got confirmation on. And it was just really great. He was very open, you know, in the conversation. It was almost as if, you know, we kind of, in my opinion, it was almost like we had known each other, you know, for a brief moment. And we were just generally talking about everything as if we had a real connection. And that connection, well, we did have a real connection, you know, with the show, because you kind of immerse yourself with the individuals who make up the show, make up the series, you know, and you kind of almost feel like, you know, you're part of the group, that you're friends because you know them in that capacity. So it was really, as difficult as it was for me to formulate questions and put everything in a priority and continue on a really good conversation, it was comfortable in the extent of it was just almost second nature that, you know, we were talking about anything. And, you know, as I was asking, he was answering, and there was no reluctance on him, on his part, you know, to discontinue the conversation or not talk about a particular topic in reference to the show. So it was really great. And then we went from talking about comic book men to talking about podcasting. And we talked about the podcast studio that they opened in, is it Eatontown? I think it's Eatontown, New Jersey. And it's like 10 minutes away from the stash. And overall, it's called the Shared Universe Podcast Studio. And consequently, coffee burp. I'm sporting the Shared Universe Podcast New Jersey black t-shirt with the logo on the sleeve. And they're so comfortable. If you get the chance to, I would highly suggest going to the website, and I'll cover this here in a bit. But I was really excited to hear about this project because what him and Mike Zapkick, hopefully I pronounced that correct, Ming, and Mike, I'm sorry if I didn't, you know, what they're doing for the podcast community in their localized area. This is a studio that you can book, go in, utilize, lease the space, of course, for, you know, for a price, whatnot. But they provide the equipment. I'm assuming they provide some instruction, some guidance, if you will, on how to put your podcast together. So if you're a novice like myself or you're a veteran, doesn't matter. You go in, you can go, you could book the studio, grab a friend, record a podcast, or do it solo like myself, you know, whatever floats your boat, and just be able to share with the masses, you know, your love for whatever it is you want to talk about. And so I just think that all in all, you know, it's just freaking awesome. I think it's phenomenal, the direction that they're going. And, you know, I explained to him, I said, you know, some of the things, and I don't know, I kind of mentioned to him, I said, hey, this is something that you guys might want to think about, and just a suggestion, right? Because one of the challenges I had in researching podcasting, and I talked about this in one of my earlier podcasts, I think it was my first podcast, and it was recorded terribly. I mean, I wasn't near the mic. I wasn't getting up and close and personal. You kind of heard the echo in the background. If you go and listen to it, you'll hear it. It was what it was. You know, I didn't know much about anything, and I was still having to research and ask for advice and ask a lot of questions. And I was reaching out to fellow podcasters and getting answers, but the whole thing of researching online, looking at YouTube how-to videos and things of that nature, it's almost not in the literal context, but it's almost like you're digging for a needle in a haystack. You're trying to find that one video that talks about how to use recording software, the one video that, hey, this is the best mic for use, this is the best mixer, do you need a mixer, how big of a mixer do you need, what are the best mixers out there, you know, and things of the like, you know, what type of system should I use, you know, as far as sound editing, how do I do this, how do I do that. And it was just took a lot of time and a lot of energy to pull all that information in and extrapolate all that data, right? So what I kind of mentioned to him, I said, if you were all able to do like a step-by-step, break it down in the simplest form possible so that a novice, you know, or somebody who's just thinking about podcasting but is kind of, you know, looks at it as a daunting task because they're not quite sure how to do it or what's my first step, I think that would pay dividends, you know, for them to do something of that nature. And between Mike and Ming, I think they can nail it down. I mean, I've heard some of the podcasts. I listened to the Mike and Ming show, and overall, it's and of course, Comic Book Men, because they start off the show in a recording podcast environment, that it just makes it look so effortless, so effortless, so seamless. And I think they could really, again, I think it would pay dividends, huge dividends for them to provide that level. To provide that level of knowledge and experience that they have and pass it on so that, you know, young and up and coming podcasters just have a nice path, an easy direction to go to get started. So not to mention, Mike is a Death Wish coffee drinker. So I don't think it gets any better than that. But anyway, if you want to check out the Shared Universe podcast website, you can find it at www.ashareduniverse.com. And if you want to dig into some really good podcasts, like the Mike and Ming show, which I just addressed earlier, Framed in New Jersey and Evildoers Beware, just to name a few, you can find them at the same website. There's a hyperlink that says podcast, and it will do a list for you of some of the podcasts that are part of what I'm assuming to be, the Shared Universe overall. So you could listen to those and get a feel for their personalities. I really like it, especially like Mike and Ming. It's really entertaining. So you could find that. You could find them again at www.ashareduniverse.com. Bottom line, Ming, I really want to say that this show, this podcast is dedicated to you. The conversation that we had was very motivating. It gave me that fuel I needed to get on my ass, get off my ass and really fire up the equipment, get everything set up and do this podcast and do it right. So Mike, damn it. You know, I must be thinking I'm back in the airport again. Ming, my apologies. This podcast is dedicated to you. And speaking of finding people, you can find me on Facebook at No Syntax. I can be found on Twitter at Caffeine Driven. That's caffeine_driven. If you have any questions or want to email me with any comments, you can email me at, it's all one word, nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. So I think this is a perfect place to close this podcast. Once again, you know, it was a great experience. I would like to say that I'm back fully. I will try or attempt to record more podcasts while I'm here in South Carolina. So I'll do the best I can. With that, No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Logo design is by Caffeine Driven Media Designs. Music is by Rimsky Music and can be found at www.premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. And consequently, today's show was fueled by Death Wish Coffee Company, and you could find their coffee at www.deathwishcoffee.com. Not to mention, did I say my Ming Chen is a Death Wish coffee drinker and it doesn't get any better than that? Well, it doesn't get any better than that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time to listen to the show. Ming, I hope to see you soon. Once moved to Virginia, road trip up to Jersey, hit the stash, hit the Shared Universe podcast studio, and brother, I hope to see you soon. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, take care, and I will see you on the other side.
That's the loveliest thing I've ever heard. Bop, 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 bop.